From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Blau.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Seven states hold primary elections or caucuses tomorrow, and much of the attention has been focused on South Carolina. John Kerry will be looking to see whether his victories in Iowa and New Hampshire will translate to success in the South. Howard Dean wants to reinvigorate his campaign. Al Sharpton is hoping that the time he has spent in that state will pay off. And John Edwards and Wesley Clark are seeking momentum on more familiar ground. Our colleague Michelle Norris spent the weekend in South Carolina. She reports now on how the campaigns are connecting with the people.
It's early Saturday morning, and while the battle for votes has now moved to South Carolina, the temperature in the capital city of Columbia feels more like New Hampshire right now. It's cold, barely 40 degrees, and the John Edwards volunteers, who flocked to the state from all over the South, clearly were not prepared for the chill. They gather in back of campaign headquarters, clutching cups of hot coffee as if they were portable heaters, and wait for marching orders so they can finally get moving.
All right, you pair up, you take a map. Okay, so how's that sound, kids?
Sharon Goldenberg comes from Cary, North Carolina. She's an old hand at grassroots politics, and she knows what's at stake in South Carolina. South Carolina's primary will test candidates in new ways. They must prove they can energize voters in a state that's more conservative and more diverse. Blacks are expected to make up more than half the voters in tomorrow's primary. And with the third straight year of job losses in the state, the race may help determine which candidate can best tap into blue-collar anger at President Bush. But first, the campaigns must find those voters, and that's not easy. A Democratic presidential nominee has not carried this state since 1976. To pinpoint those voters, teams head out to canvass door-to-door. They travel in twos. It makes the homeowners feel more comfortable. Sharon Goldenberg is paired with Robert Sullivan, a college student from the University of North Carolina.
Okay, we may live through this yet. Now, am I making a left or a right?
You have to make a right out here.
Armed with a map and a list of addresses, Sharon leads a caravan, but quickly becomes lost.
We're trying to find Millwood.
Okay, go back up to the south.
The team gets back on course, but the convoy has lost two cars along the way. They now head to the outskirts of the city.
The strip malls have given way to
forest.
Sort of open fields and forests.
Oh, my.
Finding registered Democrats in this community of tidy homes is like searching for needles in a haystack. They're lightly peppered throughout the neighborhood, usually blocks apart. The first home looks vacant. The second, more promising. At least there's a car in the driveway as Sharon and Robert approach. But no answer. They try again and again and again. In some cases, turning away before they even get to the door when they spot a no solicitation sign.
Sorry.
The rewards on this day are elusive, but Sharon and Robert press on. Candidates spend millions on focus groups and television ads, but eye-to-eye, hand-to-hand contact is where races are often won and lost. After 10 stops, this Edwards team is yet to meet face-to-face with the voter. The best they can do is leave a campaign flyer with John Edwards' smiling face folded in half in the screen door.
This makes me feel like I'm actually doing something. If I can get five more people to vote, I think I've really done something. I mean, that's really important to me. So, this is my contribution.
Back in the center of town, the appeal for votes is much more amplified. You could call it the Battle of the Bullhorns.
Act all patriot, no! Act all patriot, no!
The Clark, Kerry, Edwards, and Dean campaigns have staked out four opposing corners on Main Street, trying to outshout each other, waving signs and occasionally hurling insults.
I say president, you say Kerry, president!
Kerry!
President!
Kerry!
With their matching white T-shirts, the Deaniacs are particularly pumped up.
Dean fights for equal rights! Dean!
Carrying the torch for a candidate who's decided to look past South Carolina to focus his money and his efforts on primaries down the line. Laura Tanner owns a marketing business in Georgia, and she came to South Carolina to help keep the Dean machine moving forward.
You know, he can't be everywhere at once, and it's our responsibility to be as visible as we can, as many places as we can, to get out the word. And if nothing else, as a lifelong Democrat, I'm so grateful for what he's done and for what our grassroots organization has done to sort of change the tone in the Democratic Party back to, you know, what it used to be, what I was raised to believe the Democratic Party was about.
Time and time again, we found that out-of-towners almost outnumbered the South Carolinians in the campaign efforts. Volunteers from North Carolina, Florida, Virginia, Georgia, all recruited to help energize local Democrats unused to being in the electoral spotlight so early in the primary cycle. For the John Kerry campaign, many of the out-of-towners are the same veterans who helped boost the senator to victory in Iowa and New Hampshire. A busload of vets are working the phones in a windowless telemarketing center on the eastern outskirts of the city.
I'm calling on behalf of veterans for Senator John Kerry.
Which way y'all are going to be voting on Tuesday?
Down here in Columbia from Massachusetts with the veterans supporting John
Kerry. We hope we can count on your support, okay?
The men and one woman work from a list of all the vets in South Carolina, color-coded by age, so they can pinpoint which war they may have served in. Bill Dooling runs the phone bank.
We had a World War II vet. There's a couple over there. And a couple of guys from Korea. We had a Gulf War vet. Also some Vietnam vets, some Korean vets.
Given the reception that so many Vietnam veterans received when they returned home from war, how difficult that time was, what would it mean to you as a Vietnam veteran to have someone who served in that theater in the White House?
I think you will probably see my lip quivering. I mean a lot.
All of the candidates have been courting the local Democratic politicians throughout South Carolina, hoping to win their endorsement and woo their constituents. Gilda Cobb Hunter has heard all the sweet talk. She represents the largely Democratic district of Orangeburg in the state legislature. But she's decided to stay neutral, believing that candidates need to earn the support from her voters on their own.
What I'm hopeful is that South Carolina will recognize the important role we have a chance to play here. And I quite frankly hope we don't follow the lead. Democrats are so desperate to win in November that we are following whoever the media tells us is the person to ride. And I just want us to take this process a bit more seriously and look at these campaigns and educate ourselves about the issues.
Representative Cobb Hunter watches the polls, but she listens to the people. In her district, she's hearing a lot of buzz about L. Sharpton.
I think there are people who support Reverend Sharpton who are embarrassed to say they support him for whatever reason. But I do believe that there is a core of support for Reverend Sharpton that will manifest itself on Tuesday. And it would be a big mistake for people to think that they are just grassroots folk who support him. I have had attorneys who've told me that they intend to vote for Sharpton. I've had teachers tell me they intend to vote for him, social workers. The deal is, they say that Reverend Sharpton is saying things that need to be said and that they want to hear.
On Sunday morning, Reverend L. Sharpton brought his message to the congregation at Carpentersville Baptist Church in North Augusta. It's a small sanctuary surrounded by sagging single-story homes. The visit here is in keeping with the Sharpton strategy of focusing on rural areas and the downtrodden, voters who might feel overlooked by the other candidates in the race.
Don't waste your vote trying to guess who you think will win. Use your vote to help win who ought to win. Use that vote to speak for what you believe in, if you believe in something. Some days we spend 18, 19 hours working. Yesterday I did 3 seasons one day. But if I don't do one other thing in this race, if I can touch some young boy and some young girl so they realize they don't have to be a dope dealer, they don't have to be a gangster, they can be the president of the United States, then it's worth me running this race.
Whether he was politicking or preaching, he did both on this morning, Sharpton had the crowd on their feet. Betty Rivers is a social studies teacher, and she had yet to make up her mind about a candidate until she showed up for church this morning.
Voting for Al Sharpton. That's it.
Now, were you planning to vote for him before the service?
Planning. Planning.
But he closed the deal this morning.
Signed, sealed, and it will be delivered.
By Sunday evening, the political contest took a backseat to a more important showdown, the Super Bowl, where the New England Patriots faced the Carolina Panthers. In an apartment in Charleston's historic district, a battalion of General Wesley Clark volunteers watches the game on a large screen TV. Ashley Jennings is one of the few people without a Clark t-shirt, hat, or button. She's undecided, and despite all the politicking in the state, she's surprised that the candidates have not worked harder to win her vote.
Actually, the only phone calls I've gotten are from Dean. I haven't gotten any other phone calls.
And so. What are they saying when they call?
Please vote for Howard Dean. That's it.
With South Carolina moving the primary up and sort of taking the center stage now, mm-hmm. so early mm-hmm. in the process, have you enjoyed that and seeing so many people come from out of state?
It has
all
been
energy?
Amazing that we actually have garnered a little bit more attention than we do normally. I think the only time that Charleston's on the news typically is when there's a hurricane. So it's kind of nice to see South Carolina in the national news sometimes.
But like the hurricane, all this attention paid to South Carolina's Democratic voters will likely blow out to sea by Wednesday morning when the candidates move on to the next contest down the line. Michelle Norris, NPR News, Charleston, South Carolina.